Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Collect for the 24th Sunday after Pentecost. Almighty God, whose chosen servant Abraham obeyed your call, rejoicing in your promise that in him the family of the earth is blessed. Give us faith like his, that in us your promises may be fulfilled, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the other name Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughter-in-laws from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her daughter-in-laws, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you wait then until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed between elections is Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. God, our Creator and Redeemer, inspire your people, in prosperity or adversity, to turn always to you, eternal source of life, health, and goodness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, beginning at the 11th verse. But when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greatness and perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of his creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls, with the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer, sanctifies those who have been defiled so that their flesh is purified, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to worship the living God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May Heavenly Father open our minds to know and share his will. May the Holy Spirit open our mouths and ears to hear and speak as God intends. May Jesus the Christ open our hearts, filling them with his love, that we may feel and share that precious love to all who are inclined to accept. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. In today's gospel, the Sadducees, often referred to as scribes, yet again sought to test Jesus. One scribe asked Jesus, "Which is the greatest commandment?" As we heard, Jesus made it clear that there is no commandment greater than these first two.
The scribe then added that these two were more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices, for which Jesus complimented him, saying, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Jesus saw this scribe as sincere and wise, and thus complimented him. Typical of Jesus, however, the simple saying has multiple meanings and implications. In his statement, Jesus affirms the kind of all-consuming, single-minded, all-encompassing love for God as the necessary key to opening the door for living now in the kingdom of God. When Jesus tells this young man, "You're not far from the kingdom of God," he is also telling us what it takes to get there. In the Catholic Catechism, it tells us, to carry out the will of the Father, Christ inaugurated the kingdom of heaven on earth. And also, the Father's will is to raise up men to share in his own divine life. The Father does this by gathering men around his Son, Jesus the Christ. This gathering is the church, which is on earth the seed and the beginning of that kingdom. This is from the Catholic Catechism, number 1514. Thus, Jesus is the kingdom. He was standing right in front of this scribe, who was then quite literally, and not physically, not far from the kingdom. We know that what wrongs we experience and witness all around us do not reflect God's loving plan for mankind. Rather, these darker aspects of our lives and of the world are the consequences of man's separation from God, the effects of sin, both on and in this world. Many good people suffer through bad things. Truth be known, most do. God is not punishing these good people. Rather, as a part of this world, we're simply experiencing the effects of evil people and evil intentions. We're all bound by our world's balance of cause and effect. And thus, even the innocent suffer for the sins of others. And Christ was the most innocent. Yet he suffered the most. Now, repeated in scriptures, you'll find the statement that the servant is not greater than the master. So we can expect no different than our own Lord God. We need not cling to the false beliefs that we'll not undergo bad things. Nor should we cling to the thought that because we experience bad things, we're somehow being punished for something we did or didn't do. Christ is our Savior and the most innocent of sin among all of us. Yet he took on the sins of the world and his sufferings to redeem us all. By accepting his call to stand with him, we can now take on a share in this redemptive mission of Christ to advance the spread and influence of his kingdom. We become Christians. We become part of the body of Christ, part of his church. And indeed, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, even a part of his divine nature. Through baptism, we accept the church as a place and a concept in which we now live our lives in Christ. We become the sons and daughters in this. We call her the mother church. In living Christ-centered, God-focused lives, where we put love first in the measure and manner Christ describes, his affirmation of these two commandments as the greatest commandments, and by keeping Jesus Christ as the head of our church and of all that we do, we continue his work and help make his kingdom present now, today. It is through Christ, his church, our own faith, that we can rediscover man's unity and salvation in a world filled with division. We are called to live Christ-like lives for the sake of the world. We're on a mission to bring the world through Christ into his new covenant within his church, his kingdom. So when are we like that scribe? When Christ complimented him by affirming the accuracy of the man's beliefs and the importance of the first two commandments, he told him that you are not far from the kingdom of God. Still, the scribe failed to see that this Christ, who stood within literal arm's reach of him, was the very kingdom being spoken of. When we have those darker, painful experiences, when we see the conflicts and the suffering of this world, These are the times we need most to work and pray, strengthen our faith and focus on loving Jesus, knowing that our Savior and our Father who sent him are love. They're not punishment, not judgment. It's not what he came for. They're love. Love and redemption for all who turn our thoughts, minds, works, or every action to center and focus on Christ. Jesus and Heavenly Father have a single-minded purpose. That purpose is our salvation, to bring us literally home to live with them. Jesus tells us, and in today's reading affirms, that following these greatest of the commandments will bring us to salvation through his sacrifice. You and I are not far from the kingdom. Jesus is in our midst. Regardless of this world's darkness, Christ is always with us. And all are called to his kingdom. Love God. Love Christ. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, it's not always easy. It is always worth it. The God of love waits and works for our sake. We need only have the courage to wait and work for Christ. We need only love. Love ourselves. Love our neighbors. Love Jesus the Christ. And love our Heavenly Father. Don't complicate it. Just do it. Love and be loved. It's what most of us want anyway. That want, that very need, it's part of our genetic hard drive. That's what Abba and Jesus offer, and they offer it in a measure beyond our ability to measure. Can you accept love? Will you love others? My own answer I offer to each of you. Yes. With God's help, I will. We cannot do it alone. May the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For peace from on high and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our bishops and for all clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders of every nation and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For each and every city and community and for those who live in them in faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good weather and for abundant harvests for all to share, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel by land, water, or air, for the sick and the suffering, for prisoners and captives, and for their safety, health, and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, strife, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering all the saints, we commit ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as might be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the age to come eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.